Blog Talk Radio.
Can we go back for a minute? Listen. I wrote this little song. This is the Kurt Carr remix.
Because the Lord is in the temple, let everybody bow.
One, two, three.
Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Had a little computer glitch there, but that's okay. We're just going to go on this evening. Welcome tonight to a Word from God radio broadcast on blogtalkradio.com. I am your radio hostess this evening, Evangelist Rebecca Collier-Hagler. And I want you to know something tonight, that God has a designed word especially for you. Now, Psalms 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. By keeping God's word in our heart, it keeps us living a holy life if we truly obey God's word. And then Psalms 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, meaning the word will illuminate our steps as we walk towards our purpose and our destiny in Christ. Well, it brings me great joy to come before you tonight here on blogtalkradio.com and to share a word from God with you. After the broadcast tonight, if you would look on our webpage here on blogtalkradio.com/a word from God, there's a button there that says, please follow. And if when you push that button, it lets us know that you do follow and that you do enjoy our broadcast. Well, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you that do follow the broadcast. Thank you for your encouraging words and for all of your support. I'm truly, truly blessed by each and every word that you do send me. I appreciate you all so much. I love you and thank you. Thank you so much. You now know that you can go to our website. It's called thewordfromgod.webs.com. You can also email us at awordfromgod3@aol.com. And we do have an ad and advertisement cost page on our website. And so if you want to be on our Wednesday morning show, we do have that show for different businesses and ministries. And if you would like to come on that show, it is a little small cost, but very, very minimal. And we would love to interview you and have you on our show. To talk about your business, talk about your ministry, talk about your CD, whatever it is that you might want to share on our Wednesday morning show. That's our Wednesday morning business show every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. And then, of course, every Sunday night here at 7:30 Central Standard Time. And so go to our website and check out our ad and our advertisement costs. Also, many of you know that I have some CDs out. They're also on the website, as well as we're getting ready to almost publish our book. So the book is almost ready. I'm still working on the CD series for the Rapture, so that should also be coming out very, very soon. Also, I would like for you to visit my business website, which is called Lady Be Lovely Fashions. Lady Be Lovely Fashions is the website. Our address or our web address for that site is ladybelovelyfashions.net. ladybelovelyfashions.net. We have a lot of wonderful, wonderful items on there. Beautiful church suits. We have fabulous, fabulous jewelry. We have great suits for men, great suits for women. We are starting now for the holidays a layaway, so you can go on there. Anything that you want to order, you can find the price and the size and the color on our site. But I still tell you to please call the number that's on the site, because sometimes somebody could have sold something and I did not know about it. So give us a call so we can check, make sure our warehouse has the size and the color that you are looking for. So please visit us again on ladybelovelyfashions.net. We are going to be starting some sales for the holidays. We are going to have a Black Friday sale, and we're also going to have a Cyber Monday sale. So please check with us every day as things do change. We do monitor our site daily, so we change things, we add new things on there. So please check with us. We also have usher and choir uniforms, all kinds of wonderful things that you can find at Lady Be Lovely Fashions. Well, we are going to get into the word a little bit earlier, because I have a lot of things that I want to share with you tonight. Basically, tonight we are going to be talking about being lukewarm in the church. It's time for change. Many people are in church right now, and they're going through things, and they're suffering through things, and they're facing some things, and they really think that their life is okay. But God is not pleased with their life because they have a lukewarm lifestyle. The Word of God tells us in the Revelations chapter 3 that He wishes we were either hot or cold, but it seems like we're neither, because we're lukewarm. And the taste of the lukewarmness in God's mouth, it says He wants to spew you out of His mouth. It upsets His stomach. He wants to vomit that out. He's not happy with it. Many of us are living way beneath what God would have us to live. We're living mediocre lives, as our bishop has been preaching at our church, that we're stuck. We're just stuck somewhere, and we can't seem to get unstuck. And God wants us to make some changes in our lives. Some of us are just happily going our way, thinking that everything is okay, but in actuality, it is not okay. So we are going to be talking tonight about being lukewarm in the church. It's time for a change. And we're going to do our sermonic song before we actually go into the service. I did not play my normal theme song tonight, because this is going to be the sermonic song. Listen to this song. Let it truly, thoroughly bless your heart, because it says the sentiments of so many of us, and that is to make me over again.
If anybody wants the Lord to make him over, just begin to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.
I can no longer hide. Ooh.
Praise God. My life is in your hands, and Lord, make me over. Those should be our cries out to the Lord. Lord, make me over. Change my life. I don't want to be the same way. I don't want to move by my flesh. I don't want to move by my feelings, Lord. And then, Lord, my life is in your hand. No matter whatever comes my way, Lord, I know that my life is in your hands. I don't want to do anything on my own, Lord, because my life is in your hands. You are in control of my life. And so, therefore, Lord, I want you, Father God, to put within my heart to make the right changes, O God, that are going to benefit me as I walk in you, as I walk in your ways. My life is in your hands, O God. Lord, make me over. Change me. Don't allow me every morning to wake up being the same person. As your mercies are new every morning, O God, let my life be new every morning. Let there be something every morning, some type of assignment, something that I'll have that's different, that I can bring about a change, not only in my family, but in another family, and in someone else's life, or in the life of my church, or on my job. But Lord God, let me be a person that brings about change. Lord, let me be someone that always has a word for someone, that always has the answer, Lord God, that they're seeking it as I'm spending time praying with you, God, that I have, that you'll place that answer within me, the answer that will change that person's life. Let me look, oh God, towards others, what they're feeling, what they're going through, because I know that if I help someone else, I know that you will bless me. And that's what we should be looking at today. We should be looking at changing who we are. So tonight we're going to speak about lukewarm in the church. It's time for a change. Hallelujah. In Revelations chapter 3, starting at verse 15 and over into verse 16, it says, I know your deeds. That you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. This is taken out of the New International Version. And I'm going to repeat verse 15. It says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Verse 16 says, so, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Who wants to be spit out of God's mouth in disgust, or that the taste is awful, or it's like he wants to vomit? Who would want God to say that to them? You know, I'm so tired of you. You're not hot, you're not cold, you're not doing anything. You're just lukewarm, you're stagnant, you're mediocre. You're just standing there, and you're doing nothing. I would either wish that you were hot, on fire, or cold, just like ice. But be something, but don't be lukewarm. Hallelujah. Excuse me tonight, I've got a little catch in my throat, but we are going to get through this message. Number one, lukewarm people attend church fairly regularly. It is what is expected of them, what they believe being a good Christian is. So that's what they do. They go to church. They want everybody to know and think of them as a good Christian. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13 says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught, meaning they worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules, not what I've said, not what's in the Word of God, but just what man thinks, what man believes. And they go ahead and they take what man says, and they take what man believes and take that as gospel, not knowing the true, real gospel. Their worship is in vain. They get up and they worship and they praise God, but they do it so that others will think, see, I'm okay. I'm worshiping the Lord. I'm praising God. I'm all right. How many of us go to the house of God and we have to be prompted to lift our hands? We have to be prompted to say amen. We have to be prompted to say hallelujah. We have to wait until the music is playing before we jump and shout and dance before the Lord. The word says, it says that they come near me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. They say hallelujah. They say praise the Lord. They say all of that good stuff. But their hearts are far from me, meaning their heart isn't in it. You're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor you're cold. You just come. You're filling up a seat. You're just doing things that people just, that everybody else is doing. And probably everybody else may be lukewarm as well. You're trying to follow somebody else's example. You need a cheerleader to prompt you on when to praise God, when to stand up, when to sit down, when to say hallelujah, when to say praise the Lord. When instead, when you're hot on fire for God, those things come automatically. When you're cold, you just sit there. You don't do anything. But when you're lukewarm, you just kind of, you go with the flow. You do what everybody else is doing. So everybody will think that you're okay, but you're stuck. You're stagnated. You're giving God mediocre worship. It's not real worship. It's mediocre. And I shared one time about worship that God does not come in fake worship. You can't fake up worship to God. You can't fake up praise to God. It has to be real for it to be accepted by God. He said that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must worship him with everything we have, with not just going to church on Sundays and saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. But God wants your total life to be a life of worship. And then we worship him because of his word. His word is truth. His word sets us free. When you know the word of God, you can worship God in spirit and in truth. Okay, number two. Lukewarm people give money to charity and to the church as long as it doesn't impinge on their standard of living. If they have a little extra cash and it's easy and safe to give, they do so. After all, God does love a cheerful giver, right? Well, in First Chronicles, I believe it is, it says, but King David replied to Arunaha, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. In other words, I'm not going to give something that doesn't cost me something. And then in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, it says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in her two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, out of all she had to live on, she gave everything. When we look warm, we give to be seen. We give because we know we have enough wealth that when we go home, we're still going to have enough money to live off of. But when we give, and especially when we give a sacrifice, sometimes a sacrifice is giving everything you have. And when you give everything, now when you just give, just to give, and there's nothing behind the giving, you're still going to have your money. You're still going to have your position. You're going to still have your right standing in a community. But that's all you're going to have. But when you give totally from your heart, God speaks something to your heart and says, you're saving up maybe for a Christmas gift. Or you're saving up for something special that you want. And God will say, maybe you have $100 in that account saved up, and tomorrow you are going to go buy that thing that you wanted. And the Spirit of the Lord says, give me that $100. That hurts. That hurts because that is something that you have been saving for yourself. Now, God is asking you to give that to him. And in your heart, you're like, well, wait a minute, God, you know, I've been saving this for a long time. I finally get a chance to get this thing that I've been wanting. And God doesn't argue with you. He just says, give it to me. And then you give it to him. And sometimes we go away a little despondent. Sometimes we go away. Sometimes we go away and we say, you know, Lord, because we know who God is. We say, you know, Lord, I gave it to you. I know that there's a need. There's a reason why you had me to give that. And so out of obedience, I'm going to give it. And when we do that, God will turn around and maybe you don't even have to pay for that thing that you wanted because God will lay it on somebody else's heart to buy it for you, to give it to you. You just don't know how God is going to do it. But when you're lukewarm, you just give just to be giving, just to be seen. If they ask for $100, you walk up with your $100 in your hand. But some people, when they ask for $100 and that's all they have, that walking up to that altar and dropping that $100 is not always an easy thing to do. But the person that drops that $100 because they're giving from their heart, that person is going to be blessed. The person that gives that $100 because they just want to be seen, I don't know. They may get something eventually from the Lord, but most of the time their reward, they've already gotten their reward. So when we give, we want to give not as people wanting to be seen, but we want to give with our heart being pure before God. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to walk up there pretending to be something that we are not. Now, let's go to number three. Lukewarm people tend to choose what is popular over what is right. When they are in a conflict, they desire to fit in both at church and outside of the church. They care more about what people think of their actions, like church attendance and giving, than what God thinks of their heart and their lives. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1 says this. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And it says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Spiritually dead what God is saying. For people that are, when during times of conflict, they don't want to choose. They don't want to do what's right. So they do what's right here, but then they go over here in the world. And because they don't want people to think, oh, well, you know, she's a holy roller. They don't want people to think that you're a holy roller. They don't want people to think that they're one of those Jesus freaks. But they want people to think, you know, I'm a well-rounded person. And it's okay to be well-rounded. But you want to be well-rounded for God. Then Matthew 23, verses 5 through 7 says, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their physiognomies wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbis by others. They like walking into the church. They like being noticed. They like being sat at the head table. They like being sat up front, close where everybody can see them. They like for their name to be mentioned all the time. Oh, they do the work of the church, but they don't do the work of the church. They don't do the work of the word because it's all about them. Lukewarm people, it's always about them. What people think of their actions. They don't care so much about what God thinks about them, but it's what other people think about them. That's all that matters. And to God, that displeases him, because he says in Revelations 3 and 1, he says they think that they are alive. And they are physically, but it says, but really they are dead. Meaning they're not dead physically, but they're dead spiritually. They're dead to the things of God. So lukewarm people choose what is popular over what is right. Whatever the popular thing is in the world, you hear a lot of people talking about animal fur. Excuse me. And how can we kill the little animals and take their fur? But yet, over here they say, I believe in a woman's right to choose to have an abortion. They think that an animal's life is more important than human life. They find it an indignation. They find it awful for a woman to wear a fur coat. Some activists go as far as to throw paint on a woman's fur coat. But they think it's okay to kill a baby. They think it's okay to murder an innocent child in the womb. They don't have their priorities right. You can stand up for animal rights. There's nothing wrong with that. But then when it comes to human rights, we should really be standing for human rights, giving someone a chance to live. Because we don't know, the person that we're aborting from that body could be the next president that will change things, could be the person that finds the cure for cancer or the cure for the common cold or make some great discovery that man needs. But because of an indiscretion, a sin, a mistake, whatever you want to call it, you say, no, I'm going to go ahead on and have an abortion. I don't know how I got on that, but we need to make the right choices. Number four, lukewarm people don't really want to be saved from their sins. You say, what? Lukewarm people don't really want to be saved from their sins. They only want to be saved from the penalty of their sins, the punishment that would be imposed on the sin. They don't genuinely hate sin and aren't truly sorry for it. They're merely sorry because God is going to punish that sin. Lukewarm people don't really believe that the new life Jesus offers is better than the old sinful life. People who are lukewarm have a tendency to still stay in the world, still doing worldly things. Now, there are some things in life that you can enjoy. Some people believe that dancing is a sin. I don't actually believe that, but I believe that where you go can cause sin to come about in your life. A husband and wife, they're celebrating their anniversary and they want to dance. They invite the family and some friends over, and they're having a time of celebration, and they want to dance. I believe that's okay. If you're at a wedding, and the wedding, the bride and groom want to dance, they have that right. But to go down to certain clubs and certain places where you know there's all kinds of other stuff going on, and they're not doing the right types of dancing, that can be a sin. That can cause a problem in a person's life. Lukewarm people need to stay out of places that they don't belong because they can get caught back up into a situation that they don't want to be in. But if you want to make a change in your life and you find yourself back out in places that you should not be, and you know you should not be, all you have to do is fall on your knees and say, "Father, I'm sorry. I don't belong here. I want to get out." I remember when I first got saved, and I believe it was back in 1972, June of 1972, and the Lord took me all the way to Okinawa, Japan, for me to get saved. I grew up in the church. I loved the church. I was like Martha. I did the work of the church, and I did everything I was supposed to do as far as what I considered being church work, but I didn't do the work of the church, which was following the teachings and all the different things that Jesus was teaching. I wasn't Mary. I was Martha, doing the work, just busy working in the church, but not doing the work of the church. And when I went to Okinawa, we used to have Soul Night. And I loved Soul Night, all the different NCO clubs, military clubs there. Every month or every other Friday night, each club had a Soul Night. And so we would figure out what night was Soul Night at what club. And every Friday night, there we were, dancing and partying, having a good time. I was a good time girl. I loved to party. I loved to dance. It was just what I lived for. I enjoyed it. It was something I loved to do. I could dance. I knew how to dance, and I was good at dancing. And I was excited when we would go out, and we'd get a babysitter for our daughter, and we'd go out, and we'd just party and have a lot of fun. But then I got saved. And I gave my life to the Lord. And I said, "Father, I want you in my life. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life." And so I accepted Christ, and I was enjoying my walk with him. But we heard there was a big party. And I was like, "Oh, wow." And I was a little conflicted about going, but I still went. And I went, and as I was in there, as I was in that club, and everybody was dancing and drinking and having a good time, the things that I used to do, as I sat there and we got out on the dance floor, and my body wasn't moving like it used to move. It wasn't doing that style dance anymore. I couldn't gyrate and shake my hips like I used to. And it just wasn't fun. After I went back to my seat, I looked at my husband and he looked at me because we were both now saved. And I said, "Are you ready to go home?" And he said, "Yeah." And that was a shocker because we always went to the party late and we always were the last to leave. And it surprised us. We were there maybe 45 minutes and it wasn't the same because I was truly born again. I wasn't lukewarm. I wasn't comfortable in that setting. I wasn't comfortable with all the smoking. I wasn't comfortable with all of the drinking. I wasn't comfortable seeing a man with a woman that wasn't his wife and a wife with somebody that wasn't her husband. I wasn't comfortable with that. And I got up and I left. And I knew from that point on, I was different. I was not the same person. Hallelujah. Let's read a scripture here. It is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" I mean, should we just keep sinning and sinning because we know we're living up under grace? But by no means, I'm sorry, let's start all over again. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" Once you have been born again. Because, see, some of us have grown. Some of us are eating meat. But a lot of us are still on baby food. We're still on Pavlov. We're still on milk. We can't digest the fullness of the word because our minds are carnal. We're still living in carnality, meaning we're still living in the flesh. We're still giving our flesh control over our lives. Our flesh says, I want to go out drinking. Oh, I want to go shoot up. And you know what? My husband made me mad. I'm going to go out and find me another man. My wife doesn't understand me, so I'm going to go out and find another woman. Just whatever we feel like doing, we do it. We walk up to somebody. We don't like what they say. We don't like how they're looking at us. So we proceed to cuss them out. We do things that are carnal things, fleshly things. We're not walking in the spirit. So it's easy for us to commit sin. We walk in sin. We live in sin. But the Bible does say to us that if, as it says here, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. If you have died to sin, then the scripture says, how can we live in it any longer? If you are sinning on a constant basis, then you have not died to sin. You're lukewarm. You're not hot. You're not cold. And God said, I will spit you out of my mouth. Let's look at number 5. It says, lukewarm people are moved by stories of people who do radical things for Christ, yet they don't act on anything. They assume such action is for extreme Christians, not average ones. Lukewarm people call radical what Jesus expects all of his followers to be. many times we'll listen to someone else's story. We'll run here to hear this person's testimony. We'll run there to hear that person's testimony. But we do nothing to bring about a great testimony in our life. We don't go out and witness. We don't go out and share the love of Christ. We don't go out and help mankind. We don't go to the prisons. We don't go to the hospital to visit the sick. We don't clothe anybody. We don't do anything because that's what the extreme Christian does. I'm just average. So God understands my heart. So I'm just going to sit here and let the extreme Christians go out and do it all. Because, see, God knows me. I have to work and, you know, I'm tired and I don't feel like it. And, you know, I just don't want to. I have a brand new car and I don't want to take my car in that neighborhood. You know, I'm not going down there to the Scourge down there in the ghetto and whatever areas down there and park my car and go knocking on doors. They'll rob me and take my car. No, I'm just going to stay right here, and I'll let the extreme Christians do it. Well, this is what James chapter 1 and verse 22 says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what the word says. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, for them it is sin. You know to do good. You know that you're supposed to do good. You're supposed to do exactly what the word says, but you don't do it. The Bible says it is sin for them. You're sinning when you don't follow the word of God explicitly, if you don't follow everything that word says to do. Once you know the word, you're held accountable. You're only held accountable for what you know. But once you've heard something and you know it, you have to do what the word says. If you don't, the Bible says it is sin to you. So follow the word. Be a doer of the word. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Don't be out there just telling everybody else what they should do. You know what the word says? Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I can't make it. You know. But, girl, you need to go on out there and do. You have that gift and that talent. Maybe we all don't have a spirit, or we may not have an evangelist heart. But many of us have other things that we can do in the church to help somebody, to help someone in need. We can give of our time at the church. This week, our church, Day Springs Family Church, we had a big Thanksgiving drive. And our goal was to feed 8,400 people, which was to give away 1,200 baskets, Thanksgiving baskets, all the fixings and a turkey, and we gave away clothes. And I'm telling you, that was the most wonderful thing I've ever attended. When I saw the people come through the doors, and they were looking for help. They were looking for clothes. They were looking for food. And we were able to bless them, be a blessing. Our ministers were there, and we were praying for people, praying for needs. We were witnessing and passing out tracts and passing out flyers and passing out free clothing and giving away free food. I was more blessed doing that than I think I have ever been. Being a blessing to someone else, doing what the word says to do, feeding the hungry, clothing those that need clothes, witnessing, going into the highways and the byways and compelling men and talking to them about Christ. That was one of the best times of my life, was being a blessing to others. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then, let's see. Matthew chapter 21 and verses 28 through 31 says this. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. The son says, I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Why? Because they said, okay. You know, first they said no, but they thought about it. And they said, you know what? I need this. I need Christ in my life. I need something to change in my life. But the other one said, yeah, I'll go. Made a vow. I will go. But instead, he did not go. Many of you have made a vow to do something, to help in your building fund, whatever it might be. Many of you have made some vows that you have not kept. It is better not to vow than to vow and not honor that vow. Many of you, you look at some people that come in and you say, ugh, where did they come from? Why are they even here? They're there because God can use them, because their heart is right. You're the one that said, yes, I'll do it, but then you don't. That's lukewarmness. You're neither hot nor are you cold. And God said, I will spit you out of my mouth. Number six says, lukewarm people rarely share their faith with their neighbors, their coworkers, or friends. They do not want to be rejected, nor do they want to make people uncomfortable about talking about private issues. Matthew 10:32-33 says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Sometimes God gives us opportunity to share with others about his love. That might be the last time that person gets to hear about Christ before they die. And God says, please tell them about me. And we don't. And then we don't know. We go on our merry way. We don't know whatever happens to that person. That person could get in their car and have an accident and never wake up. That person could be in a bank robbery. I mean, anything. That person could be kidnapped, anything. But we had the opportunity to tell them about Christ. But then we didn't because, oh, well, this isn't the place, this isn't the time, this isn't the opportunity. But it's always an opportunity to share Christ. Maybe you don't know all the scriptures about sharing Christ with someone. Maybe you don't know the Roman road scriptures, but you can give your testimony. You should go to the bookstore. They have these little cartoon tracks called chick tracks. They are some of the best witnessing tools in the world because everybody will read them. Because it's like it's a cartoon or like a comic book, but it's all about the glory of God, God's love for his children, how Jesus died for our sins. They are one of the best witnessing tools. You can go online to chick.com or chickpublications.com and order all of their tracts. They're not that expensive. And so maybe you don't know how to talk to somebody, but you can hand them a tract. One of the best tracts that they have is called This Was Your Life. And many thousands and millions of people have come to Jesus just because of that one track. And if you can't do it on your own, then get some tracks and some witnessing tracks and just pass those little tracks out, those little flyers out, just talking about the goodness of God. And it has the plan of salvation on there. And it has a salvation prayer. And all they have to do is just pray and ask Christ into their life. And you don't know, they may not read that book for 3 months. But 3 months later, they may be going through something. And they're rummaging through their drawer or in their car looking for something. And they see that track. And it might be the worst time of their life. And they read that track and they give their life to Christ. That is a soul that you won for the Lord. And their blood is not required. It's not on your hands. Hallelujah. Number 7, lukewarm people gauge their mortality, or I'm sorry, their morality or goodness by comparing themselves to the secular world. They feel satisfied that while they aren't as hardcore for Jesus as so-and-so, they are nowhere as horrible as the guy down the street. Many of you know this scripture in Luke 18, verse 11 and 12. It says, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. Wanting to make yourself look better than somebody else, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your life is not in right standing order with God. You know that. You know that if Christ were to come at this very moment, you would make it in. But so many of your rewards would you miss out on. Because the Bible says that our works are going to be judged. Those of us that are saved and we stand at the bema seat of Christ, it says that our works are going to be judged. And it says that our works are going to be thrown into the fire. Those that come out like gold, silver, and precious jewels, we will get a reward for that work. But the ones that are burnt up like wood, hay, and stubble, you will not receive a reward. But you yourself will be saved. I believe that's in Corinthians. But what is your life like that you can look at somebody else like this Pharisee did and pray, oh, I'm so thankful that I'm not like those people that live over there. I'm so much better than that. Gosh, I mean, my clothes are better. We drive a better car. Oh, we can give whenever the church asks that we give. See, I'm not like the people that live across the street. But those people that live across the street, maybe they don't have everything that they want or desire. But they're living a holy lifestyle. They're living a life that is pleasing unto God. And all of their needs are met. They're not looking outside to see if the repo man is coming for their car. They're not looking outside saying, baby, maybe you better take the car over to your sister's house, park it there so that they won't know where our car is. Or you don't answer your phone. Or you're peeking through your door. Make sure it's not the people from Rent-A-Center coming back to take your furniture, your new flat screen or your new computer. But the people across the way, everything they have, it was either given to them, God blessed them that they didn't have to pay a lot of money, or God gave them the money and everything is paid for. They might not be driving the very best of cars, but it's a car that gets them where they want to go. The car is paid for. It's their car, and God is blessing them. Why? Because they're doing it the way God said to do it. They're not being lukewarm. Number 8, Lukewarm people say they love Jesus, and he is indeed a part of their lives, their money, and their thoughts. But he isn't allowed to control their lives. Hallelujah. Many of us have not made Christ the Lord of our lives. Jesus should be the Lord of our life. Everything that we do, we should stop first and say, Father, what is it that you have for me to do this morning? Who am I to talk with today? Place in my heart a love for everyone that I meet today. And if you have me to minister, help me to give them the right word. Lord, don't let me live a life so that it's unpleasing to you. I want you to be seated on the throne of my life. But some of us are so big, bad, and bold that we walk up to our throne and we throw Christ off of the throne. No, Lord, not today. I want to reign and rule over my kingdom. I want to reign and rule over my life. I don't want to follow the word today. I didn't like the way she talked to me, so I'm going to have you step down, and I'm going to sit on the throne, and I'm going to say to her what I want to say. I'm going to cuss her out, and if she gets really bad with me, I'm going to jump her, you know, because we know that God is not going to tell us, jump her. Go over there and cuss her out. Flip the bird to her. Chase her car down the street because she cut you off. God is not going to have us to do those things. So we need to allow Jesus to be the Lord of our life. If you say that you love him, then you need to allow him to be the head of our life. Many of us will get up in church and we'll do a testimony. We say, I thank and praise God. I thank God the Father, and I thank Jesus who's the head of my life. I thank that I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, yet that with burning fire. We say all of that, but do we mean it? Is our heart truly so connected to God, so meshed with his heart that, you know, whatever he says, we just say, yes, Lord. Okay, Lord, I love you, Lord, yes. I want my life to be pleasing to you, Father. Whatever you say, Jesus, yes. You want me to give her $20? Yes, Lord, I'll do that. I remember when people, and I've done it myself, will come up and give you a Pentecostal handshake, and they'll come up to you, and they'll hug you, and they'll shake your hand. And when you walk away, they've left some money in your hand. It could be a $20 bill, $50 bill, $100 bill. However much the Spirit of the Lord tells them to give you. It is such a blessing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number nine, lukewarm people love God, but they do not love him with all their heart, soul, and strength. They would be quick to assure you they try to love God that much, but that sort of total devotion isn't really possible for the average person. They say it's only for pastors, missionaries, and radicals. Matthew 22:37-38 says this. In verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. We are to love God with everything we have, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. We are to love him. And it says, this is the greatest commandment. We're oftentimes, you know, wondering, well, you know, the greatest commandment, you know, I shouldn't commit adultery. the greatest commandment, I shouldn't steal. The greatest commandment, I shouldn't bear false witness against my neighbor. But the Bible says to love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. That is the greatest commandment, that we love him. And if we love him, we can love our neighbors. We won't commit adultery. We won't steal. We won't bear false witness. We won't be jealous of what our brother and our sister has. We won't speak ill of anyone. We will be a blessing because we love God, which is the greatest commandment. And if I love him, I will love my brother. I will love my sister. Not just my brother and sister, but I'll love everybody, even the unlovable. Even the unlovable. Hallelujah. Number 10. Lukewarm people love others, but do not seek to love others as much as they love themselves. Now, they do love others, but they don't seek to love others as much as they love themselves. Their love for others is typically focused on those who love them in return, like family, friends, and other people they know and are connected with. There is a little love left over for those who cannot love them back, much less for those who intentionally slight them, whose kids are better athletes than theirs, or with whom conversations are awkward or uncomfortable. Their love is highly conditional, very selective, and generally come with strings attached. Lukewarm people only just love the people that love them. But can you love the other people that you really don't like? The ones that are always boasting and bragging about what they have. The one that you can't have a good conversation with. You got to pull talk out of them. Or is your love conditional and selective? And does your love come with a string attached? Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 47 says this. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? And then Luke chapter 14, verses 12 and 14 says, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and you will not be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. God is saying, no matter. You know, why are you just always doing something for the people who can do for themselves? Be a blessing to those that cannot do. Now, those that cannot do, they can't repay you, but I can repay you. I can be a blessing to you. I believe the Bible says that when you give to the poor, that you're lending to the Lord. And God says that he will pay you back when you do for others. When you commit a selfless act, when you do something that's not selfish, God in Karen will bless you in such a way. Don't love people with a condition. Don't love selectively. And don't allow your love to have strings attached. Now, if you do this for me, this is what I'll do for you. I'll love you if you do this. Number 11, lukewarm people will serve God and others, but there are limits to how far they will go and how much time, money, and energy they are willing to give. Okay, Lord, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to serve at church, but, hey, you got an hour. Oh, how long does your church last? 2 hours. And sometimes y'all go over? I don't know. See, I can't spend all that time on Sundays in church. Now, you know, I understand. We do have things that we have to do, and we have places that we have to go. Sometimes we do have to work. Sometimes Sunday is the only day that you have to spend with your families. But we never slight God. We never put a time limit on what we do for God and what we do for others. Never, never, ever. Number 12, lukewarm people think about life on earth more often than eternity in heaven. Daily life is mostly focused on today's to-do list, this week's schedule, and next month's vacation. Rarely, if ever, do they intently consider the life to come. Some of us are so busy living here that we don't think about our life, getting it right, getting it straight, and getting our life so completely positioned to leave here when it's time. God did not place us here right now. He did not place us here right now to stay here forever. After the great white throne judgment, then we will come back when God says, I will make a new heaven and I will make a new earth. Then we will come back here, and we will live on the earth, back and forth. We can go from earth to heaven, heaven to earth, any time we want. But right now, this is not the world that God wants us to live in. This is just a dressing room. This is a preparedness place. He's preparing us for bigger and better things when we get to heaven. Philippians chapter 3, 18 and 20 says, for as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship, is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is not here. You know, you see those movies, and it says that there are aliens that are living amongst us. You know, everybody's kind of going around doing their own thing, but the aliens are just here for a short time. That's kind of how we are. We are not here forever. We're here to be prepared. We're here to bring others back to a place that they came from, and God wants them to go back there. And it's up to us, those of us that are saved, to let the world know Jesus saves. Jesus loves you. Let me tell you, you are not a citizen of this world. You're actually a citizen of heaven. I like that. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number 13, lukewarm people are thankful for their luxuries and comforts and rarely consider trying to give as much as possible to the poor. Many times, we don't want to do, those that are lukewarm don't want to do what takes them out of their luxuries and out of their comfort level. And they really try to do things to help other people because, once again, it's all about them. Number 14. Well, let me give you a scripture on that one. Matthew 25 and 40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, Matthew 25 and 40, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. When we do something for others, it's like we're doing something for the Lord. Lukewarm, number 14, lukewarm people do whatever is necessary to keep themselves from feeling too guilty. They want to do the bare minimum to be good enough without requiring too much of them. 1 Chronicles 29 and 14 says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. God gives us everything, and he gives us things to be a blessing to someone else. And in return, God gives back to us. Many times, those that are lukewarm will just barely do, just to show, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, yeah, I'll come down about 5, 15, 20 minutes. I help out. But I got to go. I can't stay too long. You know, I don't want to be there too long. But whatever God gives us, whatever we get, whatever is put in our hands, God gave us that. And we need to turn around and be a blessing to someone else. Number 15, lukewarm people feel secure because they attend church. They made a profession of faith at an early age. Maybe at the age of 12, they were baptized. They come from a Christian family. They live in America. Just because you join a church does not mean that you're saved. Just because your mom and dad were Christians and because they were saved, if you've never asked Christ into your life, not only are you lukewarm, but that means you're a sinner. Just because someone else in your family prays and they pray for you doesn't mean that, you know, you feel like, you know, lukewarm people a lot of times prayers are not answered because they're not praying the word, they're praying the problem. So as lukewarm people, you've got to first of all say, you know, have I truly given my life to God? Was I baptized from the, you know, for the right reason? Yes, I do. I am from a Christian family, but I want to make sure that I'm a true Christian. And I do live in America. I live in a country where I'm free to worship God any place, at any time, and anywhere. Lukewarm people make a change. Make a change in your life. Get hot, get cold, but stop being lukewarm. Number 16, lukewarm people do not live by faith. Their lives are structured so they never have to. They don't have to trust God if something unexpectedly happens. They have their own savings account. They don't need God to help them. Why? They have a savings account. They have their retirement plan in place. They don't generally seek out what life God would have them to live. Now, this is not saying that if you're a born-again, true, bona fide Christian, and you truly love the Lord, that you have all this stuff, that you're lukewarm, and then if you have all this stuff that you don't have faith. You have faith, that's why you have all of this stuff. But those who are lukewarm, who have all this stuff, they feel like, well, I don't need to really pray. I have everything I want. I have a retirement plan. I have a savings. They have it figured out. They have their life figured out. They have their life mapped out. They don't depend on God on a daily basis. Their refrigerators are full. For the most part, they're in good health. The truth is their lives wouldn't look much different if they suddenly stopped believing in God. You know, because they feel, well, hey, I got everything. You know, I don't really need to go to church. You know, I can miss 4 or 5 Sundays. I'll go, you know, I just go to church once a month. Or, you know, hey, I don't have a need. I'm doing fine. I don't need to pray about anything. My life is doing real good. Being a lukewarm Christian. If you have these things and you're a bona fide lover of the Lord, your faith got you those things. But when you have those things, we are to be a blessing to others. Luke 12, verses 16 through 21 says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Be careful that in attaining all of these things that you just sit back and forget about God. Because one day God will say, hey, your soul is required this night. And all of that stuff that you've laid up for yourself, you may never, ever even get to benefit from. But those who you left behind will benefit from it, and they will spend every last dime of your hard-earned money. So don't allow all of the good things that you have to stop you from worshiping God and loving God and living for God in the way that you should. And our last point is lukewarm people probably drink and swear less than average, but besides that, they really aren't very different from your typical non-believer. They equate their partially sanitized life with holiness, but they couldn't be more wrong. Sometimes lukewarm people have a way that they say things that they shouldn't, they do things that they shouldn't, and it's just second nature to them, you know. When I was first saved, before I was saved, I used profanity like there was no tomorrow. And I mean, being a woman and cursing like I did was just ugly. But when I got saved, and when I was at the altar, I didn't feel anything magnificent happening. I cried a little bit. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I gave my life to Christ. And I knew that something had taken place, but I wasn't sure what had taken place. And probably that was on Sunday. On that Friday, I was cleaning my home, and all of a sudden, I hit my toe on a table, and I hollered out, "Jesus!" And when I did that, it was like a light went on, and I said, "Rebecca," I said, "my God, you really are saved," because my first words would have been something totally different from Jesus is what I used to say. And it was that moment that I realized a change had taken place in my life. And I the curse words just left me. Just like that. They just left me. And you have to be careful of the lifestyle that you show to other people. You have to be careful of your lifestyle. If you're lukewarm, you need to allow Christ to come into your life, come back in and make some changes in your life, to make some serious, serious changes in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to do a song right now, and I will be coming right back. Hallelujah.
He is here.
He is here.
Come on, everybody, lift your hands. The presence of the Lord is here. On one accord.
pretty selfish at the time where I give you the opportunity, some may be listening that do not know Christ, and some may be listening tonight who are lukewarm Christians. And that is not God's desire for your life, to either be lukewarm or to be unsaved. Jesus wants us all to be saved. He wants to bring us all to Him. He wants us all to repent. The scripture says in Romans 3 and 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The first thing that Jesus wants us to do is that we are to admit that we are sinners and that we have disobeyed God. You see, sin separates man from God. An imperfect man cannot come into the presence of a perfect God. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's 1 John 1 and 8. The second thing we do is we repent. We be sorry for and turn from our sins to a new life in Christ. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That is in Acts 3 and 19. Number three, salvation is available only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 14 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And then we accept the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. You cannot earn salvation by your own effort. The scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10, 9, and 10. God wants you to give your life to Him. And we're going to pray right now, and we're going to say that if this is something that you want to do tonight, and you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, all you have to do is pray the sinner's prayer. Even tonight, if you're lukewarm and you want there to be a change in your life, let's just pray. And let's just give the Father our lives completely. Let's renounce the devil and all of his works. Let's ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us and help us to be everything that God wants us to be. And we're going to go ahead and pray. And I'm going to ask you to just repeat after me. And as I pray and you repeat after me, believe this in your heart. Know that this is something that you want to do. Know that God loves you more than anything. He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Please pray after me. Dear God, I confess that I am a sinner, and I'm sorry. I need a Savior. I know I cannot save myself. I believe by faith that Jesus, your Son, died on the cross to be my Savior. I believe He arose from the grave to live as my Lord. I turn from my sin. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive my sin and come into my heart and save me. I trust you as my Savior and receive you as my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. And for those of you that are lukewarm, if you prayed this prayer, meant it, turn from your ways, repent. Know that you weren't doing everything like you should have. And you prayed that prayer tonight. You rededicated your life back to Christ. I say to all of you who prayed the prayer behind me tonight, I say welcome my sister. I say welcome my brother. I praise God for you. And I would say to you, anyone that has received Christ or you rededicated your life, email me at awordfromgod3@aol.com. And I will get some information to you. If you need a church home, if you need a church in the area where you live, I will do everything I can to contact a church in your area to get someone to call you and talk with you. You need to get into a good Bible teaching church, a church where they love God, a church where they love you, a church that will train you and give you everything that you need in Christ. I want you to know it is such a wonderful life, a wonderful life to be saved. I tell you, ever since I've had God in my life, I'm not going to say that every day has been roses, but I've been able to bear the hard times because Christ was in my life and is in my life. And He makes each day sweeter and sweeter. He makes each day more lovely. I'm telling you, God is awesome. He's special. He's a best friend. If you don't have a husband, he's a husband. He's a lover of our souls. He's our protector. He's our healer. He's a confidant. He's a friend. He's a mother. He's a father. He'll take you up under His wing. He'll teach you. He'll train you. The Holy Spirit will come in and be your guide. Jesus is your Savior. Your Father is just there for you all the time. Hallelujah. God is good, and I love Him on tonight. And I would ask you that if God leads you to send a donation to this ministry, I pray that whatever the Spirit of the Lord leads you to give, that you will listen, that you will hear, and that you will be obedient. I know that many of you give to your own churches. You give your tithes and your offerings, and that's the first place your tithes go. Your tithes go to no other place but your church. But as offerings go, if you feel led to be a blessing to this ministry, write me at a word from God 3 at AOL.com. I will send you a PayPal request, and we will be praying with you and praying for you. And once again, I thank you to each and every one of you for just being a blessing to this ministry, for your words of comfort and love and wisdom and your words of support and your words of encouragement. You are truly a blessing to me. I want to say hello to Pastor Charles and Margaret Morris. I was at their service on this morning. What a blessed time we had, a time of fellowship, longtime friends, just a wonderful, wonderful couple, and they were just such a blessing to us on this morning, and just want to say hello to them, and we just thank and praise God for you. Well, I think that's about it for this evening. I tell you, God is good, God is great, God is magnificent. You can always go into our archives and listen to any of our teachings that we do have in store, that we do have on, I'm sorry, not in store, but that we do have on our blogtalkradio.com, A Word from God page. You can go through and listen to all of the different teachings that God has given me, to my special guests that I've had on the show. I do a Wednesday morning business show this week. I don't know if I'm going to do a business show. I may just do a show if you want to call in and just thank God for something special. Thursday is Thanksgiving. I know that many of you are going to be with your families, enjoying a wonderful time in the Lord, eating and having fun with family and friends. But don't forget what it's all about. It's all about thanking God. Thanking God for who He is. Thanking God for what He's done. Thanking God for the privileges that He has bestowed upon us. The one thing I want to thank God for is I want to thank God for saving me, baptizing me with His precious Holy Spirit, filling me with His love, allowing me to show His love through me to others. And another thing that I want to thank God for are my children, my daughters, Tammy and Sean. I want to thank God for my grandchildren. I thank God for my daughter's father, for being their dad and loving them. I thank God for my husband. I thank God for my friends. I thank God for my church, Dayspring Family Church. I thank God for my pastors, Bishop Kevin Dickerson and Pastor Sonia Dickerson. I thank God for them. They are such a godsend and such a blessing to me, and I thank God for them. And most of all, I want to thank God for living in the greatest country. I mean, the greatest country in the world. We live in America, in a country where we're free to worship God any way we choose. We're free to love God. If we want to stand in the middle of a street and lift our hands and worship God, we can. We can hold Bible study in our homes without worrying about the secret police coming and arresting us. We can read our Bibles. We can have a radio broadcast that talks about the goodness of God. We can have a TV program that talks about the goodness of God. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for living in the United States of America. I want to thank God for our troops, all of the men and women that serve this country. Without them, we would just be lost, because they protect us day and night, serving this country, making sure that America stays safe. And I want to thank God. Excuse me. I want to thank God for our president of this country, President Barack Obama, and his wife, Mrs. Michelle Obama. I'm so thankful that we have people of their caliber in the White House. I mean, they're such a blessing to this country. They love this country, and they love God, and they love people. And so those are the things that I am very, very thankful for on this evening. And so on Wednesday morning at just going to be on for about an hour, but if you just want to call in and just thank God for something special, please feel free to call us on Wednesday morning at 1-818-475-9229. I will be putting that out on my Facebook page, on my Word from God page, and if you just want to just call in and just say what you're thanking God for, please call in on Wednesday morning. Well, I am excited. I'm thankful. I pray that you enjoy the Word of God on this evening. I pray that it was a blessing to you. I thank you for tuning in to A Word from God right here on blogtalkradio.com. I am your radio hostess, Evangelist Rebecca Collier. Saying thank you for joining us. May God richly bless all of your endeavors for Him. See you next week. If I don't hear from you on Wednesday, I pray that each and every one of you have a great, great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your food. Enjoy your family. And most of all, enjoy your God. See you next week. Good night. And have a very blessed week. God bless you. And happy Thanksgiving.
You ain't seen nothing.
Everybody sing that with us.
You. know y'all know.